Bhagavad Leela, meaning pastimes from the 8th canto. This is the Leela of the avatar of Lord Sri Krishna, known as Bhagavan Yajna Avatar, protecting Swayambhuva Manu, and also Gajendra, protected by the Lord. These are some stories of protection. This is one of the 6 symptoms of surrender. Rakshishya Titi Vishvaso. There are 6 symptoms of Sharanagati. Shadvida Sharanagati. Anukulyasya Sankalpa. Pratikulyasya Varjanam. Rakshishya Titi Vishvaso. Rukhtitve Varanam Tata. And one of them is to always believe and understand and live by the fact that Krishna protects his devotees. Konteya pratijanihi na me bhakti pranashati. Devotee never perishes. Swayambhuva Manu was detached from family. He renounced his family and material enjoyment and took his wife Shatarupa and went to the forest to perform austerities for 100 years. He did the austerity of standing on one leg. He offered some prayers. It says, the Paramatma in the heart of everyone is everyone's well-wishing friend. And the Lord created this world with his energies and expansions. But he himself is always enjoying in the spiritual world. He's not affected by material activities like the conditioned souls. Krishna is the teacher of religion, although he enacts his own pastimes. Everyone should become a follower of the Lord and his servant in order to become free from samsara. Well, Swayambhuva Manu was in samadhi, meditating on these, chanting these verses. The rakshas and asuras tried to eat him. Lord Yajna, a form of Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, immediately appeared and killed all the rakshas and demons. And then Bhagavan Yajna took over the post of Indra and began to rule the heavenly kingdom. Now the story of Gajendra Moksha. In this particular planet, we have a ocean of salt water. On some different higher planets, they have oceans of liquor, ghee, sweet water. And one planet has an ocean of milk. And on that planet, it's surrounded with an ocean of milk. There's a mountain called Trikut, which means 3 hills or 3 peaks. It's an extremely tall mountain, 80,000 miles high, and 80,000 miles long, and 80,000 miles wide. And it's called Trikut Mountain because it has 3 main peaks or hills. One of the mountain peaks is made of iron, one mountain peak is made of silver, another mountain peak is made of gold. This mountain is surrounded by the milk ocean and has very beautiful lower mountain ranges which have trees and waterfalls, all kinds of jewels and minerals. And the foot of the mountain is always washed by the waves of milk ocean. And on the beach there one can find great quantities of emeralds. This is a sporting abode of the higher beings. Siddhis, Charanas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Napsaras. They go to the mountain caves in Trikut Mountain and enjoy there. There are many wild animals living there. And gardens of the demigods, full of pleasingly chirping birds. There's crystal clear lakes, and it's very, very beautiful. And there's different gardens owned by different demigods. It's almost like some pleasure spot where different rich people have their private estates there surrounding that pleasure place. So there's one garden named Ritumat, which means possesses the seasons, It's owned by Vruna, and it serves as a sporting ground for celestial damsels. And it's called Ritumat because it's all six seasons are there. Very, very beautiful. So in that particular forest of Ritumat garden, there is one pack of elephants, bevy of elephants, whatever they say. And the bull elephant or the king of that group was Gajendra. Gajapati. Gaja means, of course, elephant. Indra means the lord of. So the king of that group of elephants was called the king of elephants, Gajendra. Everyone's heard the story, Gajendra Moksha. So Gaja means elephant, Gajapati Raj, the elephant-like king of Puri. He was so ferocious that the other forest animals were afraid of him. Lions, tigers, sharavas, and snakes. But small innocent animals were not afraid. They would loiter nearby him. One day this king of the elephants was very intoxicated and thirsty. He bathed to relieve his fatigue and was drinking some cold water. And while his family and children gathered around him, he took great pains to shower them all with sprays of water from his elephant trunk. Very nice service mood he had towards his wife and children. And by arrangement of God, a ferocious crocodile attacked Gajendra and bit one of his legs. Gajendra was very strong, but he couldn't free his leg. His wives on the shore tried to help him, and he continued to fight for 1,000 years with that crocodile. It was an amazing contest witnessed by all the demigods. Obviously, after 1,000 years of fighting with a crocodile in the element of the water, not getting any nourishment because he's a land dweller, Gajendra is feeling extremely weak. Crocodile is eating his leg and living in the water, so getting strength. Gajendra became afraid he was about to be killed. Then he thought within his mind, "My family can't save me from imminent death. This is the arrangement of God, so I should surrender to God. Time, the snake of time, devours everyone. But if one becomes fearless by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, then Vishnu will give him all protection. Even death runs away from Vishnu. As they say, elephants have good memories. So the elephant king Gajendra, in his last life he was a king, Indradyumna, and remembered a prayer that he once offered to the Lord. Because he was a devotee of Vishnu Bhakta, so every day he was offering Vandanam, Krishna Vandanam, a devotional limb of offering prayers. Gajendra prayed, "O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, I offer my most humble obeisances at your lotus feet. You are the cause of everything. Please give me protection. I'm taking shelter at your lotus feet. My dear Lord, you witness all the activities of the conditioned soul. Unless you sanction, he cannot even enjoy. You give him all the results of his activities. I'm surrendered unto you even though I'm an animal in an animal's body. I'm confident you will save me. Not only do I want liberation from imminent death, but I want you to free me from my materialistic way of life. Of course, pure devotees never ask for such material benedictions. They are simply satisfied to chant your glories. But I'm in danger of dying, and I beg you to deliver me. Actually, my life is useless. There's no reason to pursue it, even if you free me from this imminent death. I simply want to be liberated from this ignorance, this covering, this foolish animal body of an elephant where I'm enjoying ignorantly." Gajendra did not refer specifically to any form of the Lord. He simply addressed the Parameshwara, Supreme Controller. But he didn't beseech any demigods, so none of them came. But the Paramatma, Supreme Soul, understood his position. So Vishnu appeared there on the back of Garuda because he actually prayed to the Supreme Lord. Although Gajendra was feeling intense pain, could barely move, he was crying in agony within himself. Upon seeing Lord Narayan directly before him, he somehow managed, in his extremely weakened condition, to pick a lotus flower from that lake in Ritumat Garden and offered it to the Lord, said, "O my Lord Narayan, Master of the Universe, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you." Narayan pulled Gajendra out of the water to rescue him from the crocodile, then used his chakra to cut off the head of the crocodile. Demigods glorified the event with flowers and dancing, singing, and drumming. As usual, very glad to see the Lord and glorify him for his heroic activities. And then Shukadev Goswami narrates a past life. Everyone has a past life. We change body after body. And we're always taking on a new body. As Krishna tells in Gita 2:22, Vasamsijirnani yatavihaya Navani grinati naroparani Tata sharirani vihaya jirnan Yanyani samyati navani dehi. Arjun, as a person puts on new clothes and gives up his old clothes, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old, useless, and worn-out body. In 2:13, Tahino sminyata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir diras tatra namuyati. Arjun, as the embodied soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So we're changing bodies from one after another. Sometimes we're in human form of life, or sometimes we may be vastly powerful, beautiful demigods. And our next life after human being, we may become an animal or even an insect or a bird. It's not guaranteed that we'll change this human body and receive another human body. So one should be very careful and dutiful to utilize this precious and rare human form of life to attain the highest goal, which is pure Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema, and attain a pure spiritual body to serve the Lord in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada mentions this point about fulfilling the purpose of human life, dharma, art, kam, moksha. But our Gaudiya conception of moksha is not any of the ordinary type of mokshas, the four Vaikuntha mokshas, which most Vaishnavas are aspiring for, Silokya Mukti, to live on the same planet as Vaikunthanath, Lord Vishnu Narayan in Vaikuntha, Vishnu Loka, Silokya Mukti, or Sarupya Mukti, to have a beautiful bluish body like Lord Vishnu, transcendental form like the Lord, Sarupya, or Samipya, to live in proximity of the Lord, to live nearby Lord Vishnu, or Sharshti Mukti, to live in Vishnu Loka and have equal opulence of the Lord, have a very big palace and so many servants, a very opulent and beautiful surrounding, like a mini Vaikuntha within Vaikuntha. That is not the aspiration of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. The Gaudiya Vaishnava wants the prem seva of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So our idea of Mukti is simply Premukti, Sarupya Mukti. We don't want Sarupya, meaning that we want a form like Bhagavan Narayan, We don't want to be like Vishnu, but we want to have our sarup, not sarup, not a form like Lord Vishnu, Narayan Rup, or even to live in Vaikuntha in any shape or form or position or status. But we want to realize our own individual siddhadeya, attain our own stahibhav, loving, permanent loving mood towards the Lord. Loving Mello as Krishna's friend in Sakyaras, or his mother and father in Vatsalyaras, or his intimate lover or Sakhi maidservant, or Sakhi in Madhuryaras. So this is the mukti, the liberation that we are aspiring for. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadishakamye mama janmani janmanishvade bhavatad bhaktir hoite kitayi. Devotee doesn't want anything of this world, women, wealth, position, power, beauty, elegance, poetry, enjoyment, finery, entertainment, travel. He doesn't want anything of this material world, and he doesn't want anything from the spiritual world. He doesn't want dharma, art, calm, or moksha. He says, Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavatad Bhakti Rahoituki Twai. I want a Hoituki Bhakti. A Gaudi Vaishnava, a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a worshipper of Radha Govinda Yugal. He only wants Yugal Bhakti, Radha Krishna Yugal Bhakti, a Hoituki Bhakti, or Bhagavan and Bhagavati, Bhagavan Krishna and Bhagavati Radha. Bhagavad Bhakti, a Hoituki Tui. Bhagavad Bhakti means Bhagavan Bhakti and Bhagavati Bhakti. Pure love and devotion for Radha and pure love and devotion for Krishna. And whether he takes another birth or whether he attains mukti or liberation and goes to the spiritual world, either way he wants to be situated in Sarup Siddhi. Jivera Surupaya Krishna Nitya Das. The Sarup of the Jiva is to be Krishna's eternal Das. Whether he's poor or rich, or whether he has a form like the Lord or not a form like the Lord, or whether he lives on the planet of the Lord or not, or has the same opulence of the Lord or not, he simply wants to have a form of his own sarup. This is liberation for the Gaudiya Vaishnava, to be situated in the seva sarup, on the earth, in the heaven, in animal, in human being, in wealth, in poverty, next to the Lord, far from the Lord, with the Lord, away from the Lord. Seva, 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 das, 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 anodas. So that liberation is described in the second canto of Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 6. Excuse me, chapter 2, verse 6, which Prabhupada always quotes. Muktir hitvan yata rupam sarupena vyavastiti. The liberation is a vyavastiti, the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross, and subtle material body, sarupena. So the elephant king Gajendra and the powerful crocodile, they had their previous lives and they gave up that body and became animals. They were previously kings. One was a king. Both were kings. One's a Gandharva king and one was another king. So two kings became two animals in the jungle. One became a powerful king of the crocodiles. Another became a powerful king of the elephants. So the crocodile king, he's changed of body. He didn't get his sarup, nor did he get Vishnu Mukti, or let's say Vaikuntha Mukti. He took another body from boyhood to youth to old age. He passed his old age as a king and died and became a youthful, cute little crocodile. And his previous, he was named Maharaj Huhu. He was a great Gandharva king. Huhu. H-U-H-U. He was cursed by Devala Rishi to become a crocodile. After being annihilated by the Vishnu Chakra, he assumed his original celestial form as Gandharva. Understanding that Vishnu Kripa had been bestowed upon him, he offered obeisances and prayed to the Lord. He circumambulated the Lord, made obeisances, and returned to Gandharva Loka, freed from that particular sin which compelled him to accept the body of a crocodile. The elephant king Gajendra had formerly also been a king, but he was a human king. So one was a celestial Gandharva king, and one was a Manush or human king. Both became animals. So demigods can fall down and become crocodiles. Humans can fall down and become pigs. Humans can fall down and become cockroaches, dogs, monkeys, fish, snakes. Anything is possible due to our sinful activities. So he was a king of South India named Indradyumna. And he was living in a cottage after family life in the Malaya Hills doing tapasya. He was doing Maun Vrata, meditating on Vishnu. Agastya Rishi came to his ashram, but somehow Indradyumna maintained Maun, didn't receive him properly. The sage Agastya became angry and cursed him. You're acting so dull and insulting a Brahmana. You better become a dull, dumb elephant. Because he was a great devotee, King Indradyumna accepted the curse and became an elephant. But due to his previous devotional practices, he remembered his worship and he offered a prayer at the last moment to Lord Vishnu. So he became freed from, he attained Sarupya Mukti, a forearm form of the Lord. Because he had been such a great devotee in his previous life. And when he was touched by Lord Vishnu at the time of dying in his elephant's body, he became free from all his tamagun and all his material karmas and attained liberation by the mercy of the Lord. He boarded Garuda and went to Vaikuntha. And there's even a benediction given at the end of this chapter about Gajendra Moksha. And the story of Gajendra Moksha is mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas and other Puranas. It says that one should recite this Gajendra Moksha story on Ekadasi. Every Ekadasi one should recite Gajendra Moksha, or especially on Avirbhav Tithis of the Lord, appearance days of the Lord, Janmashtami, Ram Nomi, etc., or any auspicious function, because this story is so powerful that it will create all auspiciousness for anyone who hears it and purify the whole place where it's spoken. And it's a great benediction that one becomes free from sins. And if he gets out of bed early in the morning and recites it, this prayer, then he'll go to the spiritual world and get Vaikuntha Mukti. It's very, very powerful. This Gajendra Moksha Leela. Very interesting, the Lord Hari, when he's giving this benediction, he says that one should rise early in the morning and meditate on the settings, the Udipan. The Udipan, which includes the beauty of Trikut Mountain and the lake. And then he should also meditate on the spiritual world, which is the milk, Sweta Dweep within the milk ocean, and various bodily features of the Lord. He should meditate on the personal form of the Lord. So it's Udipan, the surroundings and environment, and the Alambana, the Vishaya Alambana, Lord Vishnu, this is all part of Vibhav. And perform this meditation, then chant this prayer as a sadhana. If one does this regularly, he will attain mukti.